know. That's right. We are right back here with the I Love Ann Show. The interviews continue. And we are going to be talking about the book that I was telling you about yesterday, that I thought I was interviewing Jane Johns yesterday, but she's Joan. She's here with us today. The book is called Capital Hell, and it's been voted the best new fiction in America. I've read part of the book. I have to agree. I wish I could have stayed up all night and finished the book before I got her on the air, but I couldn't. Good morning, Jane Johns. How are you?
I am fantastic. Good morning.
Good morning. And let's see. I think we've gotten you up kind of early this morning. Where are you at today?
Yeah, you know, Alicia and I are on about a 20-state book tour. So this morning we're in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So it is bright and early.
Well, I just, as I was telling you off the air, I saw that today on your schedule it says campaigning to the land of enchantment. And I wanted to ask you if you found it. Please tell me where it is.
Still on the search out for it. Still searching. High and low.
Well, that's great. Now, you actually worked in Washington, D.C. You worked for, tell us a little bit about your background and how this book came about.
Yeah, guilty as charged. You know, both Alicia and I met working on a campaign. We shared a desk on a campaign. It was the Coleman versus Senator Wellstone campaign, if you remember that one. Senator Wellstone died in the plane crash 7 days before the election. And we both picked the right horse in the race. Senator Coleman, or Norm Coleman, won, became senator. We both moved off to Washington, D.C. to work for him. And then, you know, we spent years working in the Senate. And then I came back to Minnesota, and Alicia came back to Minnesota to go to law school. At the same time, we sat on my couch, and it was on our bucket list to write a book. So she wrote chapter one, I wrote chapter two, and we piggybacked that way the entire time. No notes, no outline, and it's a book that's making people laugh.
And boy, don't we need that. And particularly...
Right, bring a little fun and hilarity outside that beltway.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. As you look at the news with scandal after scandal after scandal coming out, what do you think about what's going on up there? And at the time that you were there, now let's put it in perspective. When were y'all actually in Washington, D.C.?
And we lived in D.C. from 2002 to about 2006. And I'll tell you this, you know, there's a difference right now between, I teach political science now at Concordia University. I think now there's a little difference, it's a different attitude, because right now it's so my way or the highway. Everybody's stuck into their political camps. There's nothing getting done. I kind of had to laugh. I was listening to the congressman, and all due respect to him, he's like, there's so much getting done on, you know, on the Hill, and we're all working together, and this delegation, and we got each other's back. So I want to be like, I want to call him and be like, what are you doing? All that's happening right now is, you know, scandals after scandals are coming out of the administration. And when you're explaining, you're losing. So, like, right now when they're explaining every single piece, but, you know, these policies might be in place for years, what they're doing. But then they're explaining, they're losing. So, you know, right now it just seems like there's scandals and headaches, but there's no movement on any piece of legislation. There's
right.
No agreement.
Yeah, and you know, that was in that period that you were there. There was a lot of reaching across the aisle and working together.
You had to, you know what, you have to give a little bit and a little bit of take. And it's been the process of how legislation gets done for hundreds of years ago. It's just, you got to give, you got to negotiate a little bit. You'd rather have 100% of something versus 100% of nothing. So you got to do something.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now, you know, interns love the idea of going to Washington, D.C. I love the fact that you got a job. I love the fact of you y'all talking about, I think it was $24,000 was what you were going to make. And, of course, your dad was really concerned about it, but you thought you could handle it. Boy, were you wrong.
Right. If you keep reading the book, you know, your credit card bills go out of control. You're buying tampons on buy one, get one free. You're stealing tampons. I mean, it's a hard place to work, but you know what? It is one of the best places to work because you learn something every single day.
Sure.
You know, but you have to do it until about age 30. Then your priorities shift, and then all of a sudden, you know, other things become more important.
Sure. I understand that you are planning a wedding right now.
Well, actually, I already got married. That's a little
Oh, you got married.
Yeah, I got married on New Year's Eve, believe it or not.
Well, you really are a bell ringer, aren't you? But now, Jane, as far as you build this as a fiction work, but a lot of it, how did you meld it into fiction when you lived the reality?
The book is fiction. Come on, it's fiction.
I know, that's what you keep saying.
There's a little bit of truth in the book. There's some truth in the book. There's some embellishment. There's some stories we made up. You know, but I'll tell you this. Most of that book has happened to some congressional staffer, and it's put into a fictional Senate office. So if it didn't exactly happen to us, Alicia or myself, it happened to somebody else. You know, and we had fun with it. We paged through a lot of good media stories. And, again, there were no notes, no outlines. So I'd get the chapter from Alicia, and I'd be like, oh, my gosh. Carmen, the senator's wife, is off to Iraq, and she thinks she's going to go shopping there.
Yeah, I loved it in the beginning of the book where whoever had just started working in the office, and you were told to make a cup of tea. And that's a hysterical story. I love the idea of the microwave being cancer-producing and only for the rest of the staff. Is that a true story?
Oh, that story, you know, there's a little bit of embellishment on that story, a little bit of embellishment, but you know what? Some senators really like one spoonful of honey with their tea, and gosh darn it, that better be the first thing you do in the morning.
And I tell you the very fact that he could tell the difference between the expensive water
and the staff water.
Yes. That was a good one. So, you know, have y'all thought about collaborating on another book?
Oh, gosh, we've already started. You know, we usually get three questions. You already hit the first question, how much is true? The second question we always get is, have we approached about a movie yet? And the third question is, when's book number two come out? We got to figure out what happens to Senator McDermott. You know, so we're on chapter three right now. I think we'll have it finished by the end of the year. We can't wait to get it out. It's all campaign stories. I don't want to get too much away because you haven't finished the book yet, but McDermott ends up winning the Iowa straw poll, so he's off for this big presidential race.
Right. That is too cool. Now, what about, since you've been compared to The Devil Wears Prada, what about a movie?
Oh, my gosh, knock on wood, right? I mean, both Alicia and I would be jumping at the bits doing cartwheels in the hallway if that happened. So, you know, we've had some folks show us interest, but we'll see. I hope Janet looks great on the big screen. She better be cute.
Exactly. Well, you'd have to have, the ability to pick the person, right?
Right. Make her a model or something.
Exactly. Well, that's great. You know, in today's, what are you doing, though? I know you're on a book tour right now, but you actually teach today, don't you?
Yeah, I teach. I'm a political science professor at Concordia University in St. Paul. I got the best students in the world. I always believe that you can give them a textbook, but if they're stopping the halls of the Capitol, they're learning more about political science. So my students have written quite a few different bills and get them passed, and so they're just a great group of kids.
You know, that is terrific that you've been able to take the experiences that you've had, turn it into something, and now you're helping shape young people. I tell you what, talking to young people today about their beliefs and what's going on certainly
is an experience.
You better
believe it. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm one of those conservative professors versus a liberal professor.
Well, that's unusual in the college
system. Right? Absolutely. I'm a breath of fresh air.
A breath of fresh air. You're absolutely right. Well, listen, is there anything else you're willing to share about the book?
Oh, just, you know what? It's fun for the reader to go, it's true, it's not true. See, that's kind of the fun part is digging through and be like, oh, my gosh, this really happened to these girls or not, you know, or happened to somebody else. So when you're done reading it, email us, let us know what you think, and then we'll be sure to write right back to you. Our website is capitalhealthbook.com. And, of course, you can find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online, your favorite bookstore. It's all over the place.
It is, and it is a great book, and I love the colors and the pink and the brightness. I love the fact, because the last time I was in Washington, the thing I noticed was, yes, they were wearing heels, but they're all dressed in dark, and I could just see y'all running around
with the bright
pink and everything. It was terrific.
Fantastic.
Well, thanks so much for calling us this morning. The book is Capital Hell. I believe it is. And it sure is great that you called us, and we will be talking about the book as I finish it up, and I'll talk more about it on the air.
Oh, thanks so much. Everybody have a great day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.